then plug that in and switch focus back. This thing working?
Seems like it.
No, this is his audio is not working.
Nope.
Member at Lee Summit Community Church, Doug Brown is a pastor, and Doug Brown will be preaching here next month. But she has come today.
So
we're glad that she brought her family
go
with her.
We switched
she
it
is
so you don't want to interrupt.
Studying about the Christian church in China. That's a project she's doing for school. So hope you welcome her and her family, and we're so happy to have them there here today. Also want to wish you a happy Valentine's Day. This is a special holiday. I have to share this. It was 20 years ago today that I asked my wife to marry. And so this is. And then in June, 20 years ago, we were married. So this is an anniversary. I gave her a card this morning and said, I love you even more than I did then. You know, love grows. Today we're talking about how vision grows. But there's some application here, too, also to Valentine's Day. So let's look to the word in prayer as we begin. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We pray that you would open our hearts to receive your word. I pray for the anointing of your spirit upon your servant to bring forth the word of God to us. And Father, I pray that you would help us to understand your word, help us to apply it to our lives. And Father, help the vision that you would give to us individually, to us as families, to marriages, and to our church. Help that to grow. Help us understand what that vision is that you have for us. And Lord, we thank you. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we read the verses here in Nehemiah chapter 2. And last time, we looked at Nehemiah chapter 1. Today, we're looking at a vision is grown. And what are the building blocks of a vision? All right? How do you build a vision? How does a vision grow? Now, last time we took a look at a picture here. And some of you weren't here last time, didn't see this picture. So I asked you, those of you who are here, you've got to maybe wait, let them answer first. What do you see when you look at this picture? What do you see? Somebody wasn't here last time. What do you see? You look at this picture. Anybody? Yell it out. You see two faces. All right. Very good. What else do you see in this picture? Anybody else? A vase. All right. Very good. And you both gave the right answers. It could be a vase. It could also be a wine cup. A wine cup or people? You see, Nehemiah was the king's cup bearer. He bore the cup of wine to the king. It was an important job. But Nehemiah, he saw beyond the cup. He saw beyond his job. He saw people with needs. And that's important that we can see beyond our job. Now, I know some of you work in hospitals. We have some who work in hospitals. And, you know, others of you work in other places. I'm also work as a teacher. And we have to look beyond our jobs. We got to look beyond the wine cup. We got to look beyond what's there and see the people that we are ministering to, the people that we are serving. And, you know, they come to us with various needs. So what is your vision? We saw how a vision is born in chapter 1. We're going to review that a little bit. But now we need to see how God grows a vision. And then what are the first building blocks of a vision? What builds the vision up? right? So first of all, a vision begins as a concern. A concern that we have in our hearts, that God gives us this concern, and that's how a vision begins. Another word for concern is a burden. God lays a burden on our hearts. Look here at Nehemiah. We saw this in chapter 1. You will hear or see something that gets your attention. So Nehemiah's concern over the condition of Jerusalem broke his heart. When he heard from his brother what the condition of Jerusalem was, he said this, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. He not only sat down and thought about it, you know, what was happening, what he had heard about the walls being destroyed and how that the gates were burnt down, you know, but it just deeply troubled him. He wept over it. God gave him a burden for the city of Jerusalem. And we saw on Friday nights, our young people were learning how to share our faith. And we often show a video clip with that. And there was a young man, not a young man now, but a man there, I remember his name as being William, but he has a burden for Kansas City. And he goes around running all the time in marathons. He's run, I don't know how many marathons around the nation. But you may ever go to a marathon, you might recognize him. He wears a cape to remind himself and to be a witness for Jesus. And so he goes and runs and has a burden for Kansas City. So a vision begins as a burden, as a concern. And then we saw number two, a vision does not necessarily require immediate action. That may surprise us, because often we have this burden, this concern, and we're ready the next day to go out and do it. But usually, God has His timing for us. Vision always requires patience. Nehemiah waited upon God in prayer. He waited days and months. It says here in Nehemiah 1:4, for some days I mourned and fasted and prayed. From Nehemiah chapter 1 to Nehemiah chapter 2, we see he waited 4 months for this vision to come to pass. And remember how we talked about Moses waited 40 years for that vision to come to pass. So, there is a waiting period. If God gives us that vision grows. We are patiently waiting to let that vision grow in our hearts and for God to lead and direct in that vision. And then number three, we saw that the prayer for opportunities and a plan as if you expect God to answer your prayers. So while you're waiting, while we're waiting for this vision to come to pass, we are praying for the opportunities. And as God lays upon our heart, we are making plans for those opportunities, expecting God to answer that prayer. And so Nehemiah, he prayed and he planned. It says that I was cupbearer to the king. Nehemiah was in a place where God wanted him to be. He did not know if he would ever have an opportunity to present that burden to the king. But he was there. And so Nehemiah made a list of his plans for rebuilding the wall. And then this plan list became his prayer list. We're talking about, with our young people on Friday nights, how to share the gospel, how to share your faith. Looking at different plans, different ways of sharing your faith. To have a plan, and we're praying for opportunities to share our faith with our friends, our neighbors, our classmates, our people we work with. As you wait for that, you need to have a plan. You need to be ready, prepared to share your faith. You need to be prepared for the next step that God has for you. And so, Nehemiah came up with a plan. Now, I think Nehemiah must have been very organized. Let's really pray this out. He had a very detailed plan. Now, I don't know some of the details that God gives us. Step number one, Nehemiah would convince the king to allow me to leave his service in order to rebuild the wall around the city of Jerusalem. You know, he was a trusted advisor to the king, because bearing the cupbearer did not only serve the king, he had to protect the king, make sure there's no poison in the drink, no poison in the food. But he also ended up being an advisor to the king. Step number two, convince the king to lend financial support to the building project. How are you going to pay for this building project? Now, this probably seemed like a big step. How would he convince the king to allow him to go? And how would he convince the king to give him financial support? Step number three, receive letters from the king to the governors in the surrounding areas, asking them to provide safety along the way. He needed permission from the king, but there are also many times bandits along the way, robbers, and so he needed to have protection as he went there. Step number four, receive letters from the king, the keeper of the king's forests, a man by the name of Asa, to provide lumber to build the gates and a home. All right, he needed supplies. He needed a gift card for Home Depot. He needed step number five, ask the king for the title of governor of Judah. He needed authority that he could get this done. And he needed authority from the king. And then the step number six, organize and equip the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And then step number seven, begin construction. So he had a plan. He was prepared. And he was waiting. As he was waiting, praying before God, he came up with this plan. Now, I don't know whatever vision that God gives you, but you pray about it, and God begins to give you some of the details. And you put that down in writing. Now, that may change. But God gives you a plan as you prepare for that. Last summer, our granddaughter, which some of you maybe have met, Rebecca, 14 years of age, God laid upon her heart to go to Taiwan for a summer camp for 2 weeks. To go there, every year they go, there's a group to go to Taiwan, there's another group to go to China, Inner Mongolia, Baotou. And so she signed up to go on the trip, and of course she had to raise money to go on that trip. So she made all these different keychains by hand, keychains that'll go around your neck and on your park, and she advertised on Facebook, and was able to sell these that she had made to raise her money to go there and to be part of that summer team. You know, it's a wonderful opportunity young people have to do this. But she had that plan that God gave her, how that she could raise money to go on a summer team. So, you have a vision. You have a burden. You pray for the opportunities. And you make plans. You expect God to answer your prayers. And then number four, the fourth building block that Nehemiah shows us here, is that God is using your circumstances to position and prepare you to accomplish His vision for your life. God is using your circumstances. You see, success is remaining faithful to the process God has laid out for you. And God had laid out for him, he had the position of the king's cupbearer. Now, you couldn't just go in front of the king or Xerxes at any time. You had to be invited. He would ask you. You couldn't just go in front of the king. It's like the emperor of China. You couldn't just go in front of the emperor of China. You had to be invited. And so, as he used these circumstances and the position that God had given to him, prepare this vision. And as you do that, you celebrate little successes along the way. The king, I was able to, serve the king again. And little successes along the way, you celebrate those, looking for the day that God will open the door, whatever that might be. Don't look at the little things as being little things. He had to serve the king, waiting for that day the opportunity would open, that he would be able to present that vision to the king. And then number five, building block. What God originates, he orchestrates. I like this. How is never a problem with God. How can this be done? How is this going to come about? Yes, you can have a plan. How is this all going to come together? How is it going to work out? And sometimes this boggles our mind. And don't get lost in the how. How is never a problem with God. He knows how to. The promise is that Mark tells us, 9:23, all things are possible to him who believes. And we may look at this situation as being impossible. And Nehemiah could have thought of his situation also as being impossible. I don't know how this is going to happen. And Jesus said, living faith can move mountains. And so the mountain starts to move. And there are three evidences of Nehemiah's faith that this mountain starts to move. So we have to have faith. We have to trust God. We don't know the how. How is this going to come about? How is God going to do this? God gave us the vision. God gives us the burden. God originates it. He brings it to pass. He orchestrates it. And that's the wonderful thing about this, because you see, it's a God thing. If God calls us to do this, we've got to trust God to do it. And so that's a very important. Now let's take a look at Nehemiah's faith here. The evidences of his faith. First of all, he had the faith to wait. We see this in Nehemiah 2, verses 1 to 3. Through faith and patience that we inherit the promises. Hebrews 6:12. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. He began, first of all, by weeping and praying. But he also learned to wait and pray. The burden grew. Here are three good verses to remind us of this, the need for patience and waiting. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Exodus 14:13, the words of Moses, spoken to Moses here. Stand still and see what God's going to do. And then Ruth, chapter 3, sit still until you know how the matter will turn out. We need to sit still. And then Psalm 46, be still in our hearts, in our actions. Be still and know that I am God. And Nehemiah prayed. He prayed, Lord, maybe he prayed this every day. Lord, if today is the day I speak to the king about our plans, then open the way for me. Day is the day. None of us like to wait. I have patience is not easy. And probably we don't enjoy going to the doctor's office because we don't like the waiting room. We don't like to wait in the waiting room. This week I had to go see the eye doctor. And probably an hour and a half wait to get in to see the doctor. And we don't enjoy the waiting room. But, you know, that's a necessary thing, to wait in the waiting room. So we need to stand still. We need to sit still. We need to be still in our hearts. We're waiting for God. And that takes faith. Then he had faith to ask. He prayed all the time, every day, and then the day came. He had faith to ask. The king asked him. See how God worked here? What is it you want? The king saw that he had a heavy heart. Nehemiah was probably usually cheerful. And that day, the burden was so heavy upon his heart, he was not cheerful as he used to be. And the king asked him, why is it your heart seems troubled? What is it you want? I like what Nehemiah did here. For 4 months he had been praying for this day to come. He had been planning for this, and here's the moment. And right then, he said emergency prayer. Pray 911 to God. Then I prayed to the God of heaven. You know, we see how many times in this book of Nehemiah prayed. He was dependent upon God. God had given him the plan, but he was still dependent upon God. And so, first he said in his heart, a prayer to God. Then he spoke to the king. Maybe he prayed the prayer of James 1:3. Urgent prayer for wisdom. Any man of acts wisdom when a mask of God. He gives it to us. How many times we need to do that before we open our mouths? Pray to God for wisdom. What should I say? Lord, give me the words. You see, this emergency prayer was also backed up by 4 months of fasting and praying. So he asked two things of the king. He asked the king to send me to do this. I want you to see here the words that he says to the king. And so the king said to me, for what dost thou make request? What is it you want? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, first saying the prayer, and then speaking to the king. If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldst send me unto Judah, unto the city of my fathers, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, and the queen also being also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? Now, if he had not made plans, there was no way he could answer those questions. God had already lay these details on his heart. He spoke to the king. And then God answered his prayers. So it pleased the king to send me and to set him a time. And moreover, I said unto the king, not only did the king send him, but he gave him that which he needed. He said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me, to the governors, beyond the river, that they would convey to me over till I come unto Judah. And then a letter unto and the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make the beams for the gates of the palace, and also for the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter in. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. See, God answered his prayers. Send me and give me. And again, you know, Nehemiah at first, that may have seemed impossible. It's a God thing. Only God could have done that.
You used that, right?
Remain dependent upon God.
I need a search
so
phone.
So we see, he had faith to wait, he had faith to ask.
Search on the,
he also
on
had faith
device,
to challenge others. You see, traveling was going to be a journey of 2 months. And it was a challenging journey. He couldn't just jump on the airplane and fly over there. Where he was at, it was a 2 month journey. First of all, in his journey, he challenged his enemies. You know, you try to do something, there are always those who will try to oppose. And Sanballat was a chief political opponent, the governor of Samaria. You know, the background between Samaria and Judah, after the Syrians had taken over the northern kingdom, under that part of Samaria, and there was mixed, the Syrians and the Jews that remained there, mixed marriages. And then there was Tobiah, the governor of the Transjordan, across the river. And then there was Geshem, who was a businessman who feared that this would probably interfere with his spice trade. And so these three opponents, these three who opposed him, and this plan rose up, and he met his enemies. He challenged them. Now, it reminds us, of course, as Christians, that we have three enemies. The Bible speaks of the Satan, the devil, like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. We know this world, that we're not to love this world. The world system is in opposition to God. And then, of course, we have our own flesh. These things that would oppose us. So, you know, expect opposition. Even if God gives you a vision, God provides for it, he opens the door for you, there's still going to be opposition. Then he challenged the people. And challenging the people, he focused on the glory and the greatness of the Lord. The city was a reproach to the Lord. Look at the city. Look at the condition of the city compared to what it used to be. And the people accepted the challenge immediately and said, let us rise up and build. God sent the Jews, a leader from the outside, with a new perspective on the problems and a new vision for the work. Now, leadership is the art of getting people to do what they ought to do because they want to do it. Not easy being a leader. The leader can't just tell people what to do. Being able to get the people to do what they ought to do because they want to do it. The enemies, of course, continue to ridicule him. So rebuilding the wall was God's work. And the Jews were God's servants. And of course, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem had no part in the matter. There's a book in Chinese history called The Art of War. Maybe some of you have heard of this. An ancient military manual by a Chinese general. Sun Tzu? I'm not sure if I say that right. If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the results of 100 battles. We know ourselves. We know what God has put upon our hearts, the vision that God has given to us. And we're dependent upon God, then through God we can be victorious. The sixth building block, you have to walk before you talk. You have to investigate before you initiate. Now it's interesting what Nehemiah did here. Nehemiah did not tell anyone at first. Instead, when he got there at Jerusalem, Nehemiah spent some time taking inventory of the situation at night. He got on probably a donkey and rode around to investigate the condition of the walls and the city. So get the facts. He tells us in Luke 14, before you sit down and build, you need to get the facts. Let me start to, and are unable to complete it. Walk before you talk. So he walked around the wall at night. He inspected, make sure what he had heard was so, and what he found other things that maybe he had not heard of. And so he observed, he inspected, he got the facts before he talked to anybody about it. His vision was confirmed. His vision was defined. It was not aborted. It was not. He did not give up on that vision, even though the situation may have been worse than he had originally heard. You walk before you talk. You investigate before you initiate. And then number seven, the seventh block. You communicate your vision as a solution to a problem that must be addressed immediately. In order to share your vision convincingly, you must be able to state the problem your vision addresses. Right? What is the problem? Here Nehemiah says in Nehemiah 17:2-17, you see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Now, in seeing the problem, it may be obvious, and people may already know the problem. Listen, it's not enough to state the problem. You've got to also give the solution. It's easy. Anybody can tell the problem. Oh, I see this, I see this, I see this. You know, it's easy to cry out the problems. So when you speak of any problems, you ought to also speak of the solutions. What are the solutions to these problems? Give some thought to that. And so, give a solution to the problem. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. They may have acknowledged, yes, this is something we need to do someday. In the future. Maybe we can do it sometime in the future. Yes, this is a solution, but the next thing you have to do is this. You must be able to give a compelling reason why something must be done. What's the reason why this solution must be done? Nehemiah told them, we will no longer be in disgrace. Our city, Jerusalem, the capital of our kingdom, Jerusalem, look at it. It's a disgrace. We will no longer be in disgrace. And then why must it be done now? This is the key. Why now? Why now? Nehemiah said, I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. This is God's hand at work. This is God's hand. This is God's time. And so that's why now. Look what God has done. The king has sent me. This is the time. The king has sent me. He's provided protection. He's provided the materials we need. The king has offered to pay for this fixing of the wall. It's time. God's hand is at work. And then number eight. The building block. Number eight. Cast your vision to the appropriate people at the appropriate time. They replied, as he told the people about the need, and now is the time, they replied, let us start rebuilding. And so they began this good work. And I want you to take note of this, to the enemies. Nehemiah answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. And look at verse 20 there. He spoke to them. He said this word, but you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. To those who would oppose him, to those who would be the enemy, he said, this is God's thing. This is God's work. And if you're not for it, you have nothing to do with it. Now, think about this. If you have a vision, if your vision is for a year, plant wheat. It only takes a year to plant wheat. Get a crop. If your vision is for 10 years, plant trees. In 10 years, you see a tree. But if your vision is for a lifetime, plant people. It takes a lifetime to plant people. Listen. Whatever age is, children, young people, results are all important to the vision that God has. Anyone can go through life as a destroyer. God has called his people to be builders. Anybody can put things down, try to destroy things, say this is, but God calls us and gives us a vision to be builders. Now, how can we apply this? There are many ways we can apply this. We need to build the children. We need to build the youth, the young people. They're a very important part of our lives and this church. We need to build marriages. We need to build families. And we need to build this local church using these building blocks. An application here today, Valentine's Day. We're reminded to build loving, listening relationships with others. What is love? We are to love others unconditionally and sacrificially as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. He's the ultimate example of love, what love is and should be. Love is also a verb. Jesus himself commanded his disciples to love one another. It's an action. John said that God so loved the world that he sent Christ to save it. The Apostle Paul wrote his famous chapter on love in 1 Corinthians 13, where he primarily talked about love as a noun. And even though he didn't use the verb to love in 1 Corinthians 13, he described love in action terms. Love suffers long, is patient, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, and so on. In other words, true love is best identified by what it does. Actions speak louder than words. It's nice on Valentine's Day to give a card, words. Sometimes we have trouble saying the right words. We buy a card with good words on it. That's good. That's nice. We give flowers. We give chocolate. Express our love. But remember that love is best expressed by our actions. So, on this Valentine's Day, we need by our actions to show our love. To our spouse, to our children, to one another. And then another application. What is listening? We are to listen to others. Chinese character is very interesting. The traditional character shows us 10 eyes, 1 heart, ears, as to the king. And so you have the character for listen. 10 eyes, 1 heart, with ears before the king. And so active listening is a part of love. And so we listen. Our eyes watchfully looking at the person. I'm sorry, I'm reading a book. Don't bother me right now. No. I'm playing a game. Don't bother me right now. No. Actively watching with our eyes, looking with our eyes, showing our attention, and then our heart wholeheartedly, one heart, our whole heart, our ears, just like Nehemiah, listening to the king respectfully. And so here is love. Here is active listening. Our young people, we often do this on Friday night. Just remind us, you know, we get to talk and so forth. So we point our ears, we say, King. We point at our eyes, King. We point at our heart, King. And we point up to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, King. King, 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 King. Listen. God, help us to build on these building blocks of the vision. May we have 10 eyes to see clearly God's vision. May we have one heart to pursue God's vision with all our heart. May we have ears to hear God's word and what God says to us. And may we have respect and obedience to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so let us listen. Let us listen to the vision that God gives us in our families, in our marriages, in our church. And let us build, using these building blocks, let us build and grow this vision that God gives us. Father, we thank you for your word, Nehemiah, the example of Nehemiah, the vision that you gave to Nehemiah. And Lord, I pray that as that vision was born in the heart of Nehemiah, that you would give birth to a vision in our hearts. And as you grew that vision in Nehemiah, may these building blocks, may you grow that vision in our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would have faith, trust you to see that vision come to pass. We have love in our hearts, and that we would listen with 10 eyes, one heart, with ears before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, Lord, we pray, we thank you in Jesus' name.